Long past the hour for quitting labour, amid the smoke-filled haze of the south gate, the after-lodge crew continues to linger in the rubbish of the temple, under the watchful eyes of Right Worshipful Grand Censor Bob. Not recognised nor endorsed by any grand or subordinate lodge of regular masons, irregular masons, co-masons, Canadian masons, or internet wannabe masons, they banter on as always. Puffing cigars, drinking stale coffee, making terrible jokes, studying agency law, spreading the intemperance and excesses of digital masonry, and generally disappointing all 7 of their podcast subscribers. Do yourself a favour and stop listening now. Only trolls and masochists dare to eavesdrop upon this after-lodge banter.
Welcome to episode 312 of the After Lodge podcast. This is After Lodge Harlan coming back after a somewhat lengthy hiatus, as we've all had our respective beginning of the year things going on.
It's been a minute.
But the gang's all here, including worshipless producer Bruce.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Sir John and his Masonic garage shirt.
Yay. Yeah, it's a York Right garage shirt. What do you want? It's actually probably a York Right bowling shirt. But
I was going to say, it looks like a bowling shirt.
York Right, and here I said Masonic.
Also, the Northern Masonic jurisdiction and on the Chuck.
Yes. Speaking of non-Masonic jurisdictions. Hi, Chuck.
Greetings, fellow time travelers, as we travel back over 100 episodes tonight.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's...
you, Harlan.
Surprise, we haven't gotten any better.
Still a little out of it. And, of course, Jamie is here to apologize for Canada and all of their Canadian...
Sorry there, eh? We didn't know what we were doing. The polar vortex was all our fault. I'm sorry.
Jamie, how would you feel about us building a wall to block to keep the cold air in Canada?
Well, I mean, if you don't take your fair share, it's just going to be that much colder up here, I guess. But, you know, hey, we need your warm air, though.
Block it.
We need your warm air to make summer up here. We don't have summer. So, no, I don't like that wall. I don't like that idea.
I feel uncomfortable.
Hold on. What if you all pay for it?
Huh? We pay for the wall or pay for the warmth? The wall or the warmth or both?
No. The warmth. Canada was going to make us pay for the wall. That's how I thought that works.
I thought it was just we, maple syrup anyways.
I'm trying to strike a deal here, Harlan.
Are you saying the person to the south always pays for the wall? Yes, then that would be your turn.
I think I read that in The Art of the Deal. So, yeah.
And don't take this the wrong way, but we wouldn't make you pay for the wall. If you wanted it, you're paying for it.
It would be cheaper for us, so that's only fair.
Yeah, that's right.
Quick shout out to brother Matt Gallagher.
Matt!
I know him. Well, yeah. The book that he came on our show to plug first, you heard it here first, Practical Freemasonry, has been making the rounds through the Masonic Review circuit, including our own Masonic Villages newsletter. Was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I said that to him, and he had to feign humility as authors do. So, but congratulations on another spotlight. I'm glad to hear that the book is still going well. And we will accept our commission check in whatever form you wish to send it.
Dogecoin.
Yeah, except for crypto. No crypto. No, we don't.
Crypto. No NFTs. No crypto.
I mean, never. No.
Oh, man. So what have you cats been up to?
Concerts. I've been going to concerts, which has been fun.
Jamie, I got a question for you. By concert, do you mean just smoking pot and watching like YouTube? Because
and listening to music.
No. So the Canada games are going on.
James Garage.
Ha ha ha! You're funny.
All the best bands are playing.
So I went to see Sloan at the 1st of February.
You
guys may or may not know who Sloan are. And I decided to pick up a limited edition album of theirs in pink vinyl. And then
big vinyl. What's big vinyl?
Pink. Pink. Jamie, vinyl Jamie, in the color Jamie, of pink.
Jamie, you have to be yes. smoking by now. Will you turn your camera on for us?
I'm still I'm on hands free because I'm on my way home from lodge.
Okay. All right.
So I can't turn my camera on because I can't really look at my phone anyway. And then as soon as I get home, I got to pause for a minute, say, give my wife a kiss, and then I'll be back with you. But I'm almost home now.
We don't want you to be distracted while driving.
No,
so.
No that's the point. No, I'm not trying to break any laws or anything like that. I'm hands-free, which is legal, but I can't use my camera right now.
Don't be Chuck.
We're going to hell, aren't we?
We're all going to burn in hell, yes, we are. But for completely different reasons than my camera.
That is a long list.
Oh, long.
Yeah.
You got a week?
Actually, it takes me about a week every year around the high holidays. I get a whole 8 days to try to list it all out, and I usually get about halfway through when it's over.
And I just pass out from the stress.
Yeah. It's, I don't really have a concept of hell, but I feel like one's being created for me.
You're so, married, Harlan.
Yeah, this is your hell.
Maybe, but I had a brief reprieve from it last week, so
why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, I went to DC as we had discussed on the show for the centennial cornerstone laying of the George Washington Masonic Memorial in Alexandria, Virginia, which is conveniently nearby Arlington and the District of Columbia. It was one of the best experiences I've had in Masonry. I had an absolute blast. It was exhausting, but in that, like, oh my God, I can't believe we just did that sort of way. And where to even start? So I'm sure a lot of you saw in Scottish Rite newsletters or your own Grand Lodges sent their representatives. So I'm sure they'll be sending you pictures. There were about 3,000 Masons at the Masonic Memorial for the cornerstone laying, which happened last week on Monday. And prior to that, my lodge had taken our charter and we tiled an open lodge inside the memorial. There's a couple of lodge rooms in there. We were joined by the Grand Lodge of Portugal and
wow.
Some other visitors just, and the whole town, like that weekend was my hotel. I would just go down to the Starbucks and grab my morning coffee. And you would just run into Masons from places you've never been. Or when they said Grand Masters from a bunch of jurisdictions were going to be there, that's not just the 50 United States and their Canadian pals. It was, well, Portugal, England, there were guys from Spain and South America, every Grand Lodge that you could think of. It was quite the scene. Wow. And the parade stretched on forever, parading up to the memorial to do the cornerstone laying. Thing went on for almost 3 hours. The parade did. The cornerstone laying was like an hour. But outside of that, you know, we had to visit Mount Vernon. I learned some things. I hadn't actually been there before. Namely, that if I had inherited an estate like that, as Brother George did, I would have never left. And I understand now why he had such an easy time leaving the swamps of DC and giving up power so that he could get back to Mount Vernon. And that is the reason I am not George Washington, because he left and I would not have. That place was paradise in its time. I mean, it still is, but you can, well, unless, you know, you were a slave, because that kind of sucks. But if you were George Washington and family, it was the place to be. So we went and saw the old tomb and then the new tomb that was commissioned after he died, because I didn't realize the Washingtons did that creepy thing where they lock their family in the vault instead of burying them. So that was fun to learn. Then we did our lodge thing, and of course there was a lot of drinking in the evenings, so it was kind of work hard during the day, play hard at night. Monday we did all the memorial stuff, and then Tuesday one of our members, the guy who organized the trip, is from DC, and so he knows the area, where everything is, how to do things, when you can get away with parking in the congressional parking lot and when you can't. I was really skeptical about him doing that, but it turned out to be fine because it was the right time of day. So we rented this church van. Like, it was supposed to be 15 passengers. They gave us a 11 passenger van, and there were exactly 11 of us, which made it kind of a tight fit. And what we would do, because he crammed a week's worth of tourist sightseeing stuff in DC into a single day, like a 14-hour day, but one day nonetheless. We hit the road bright and early in the morning, and we hit all the major sites, right? We went to the top of the Washington Monument, all of the memorials. We started at the Capitol. Of course, I had to get my photos in front of the Supreme Court, which happened to be the day that they were doing some important hearings, so all the media people were in the way. I'm going to have to use my magic eraser feature on my Pixel to get the news crews out of my shots. But we, in the way we would do it, because there's, you have to walk everywhere in DC, and there wasn't enough time for that. So what he would do is we'd hit an intersection near wherever we were trying to go, and then 10 Masons would just go piling out of this white van, which turns out the Capitol Police, that gets their attention when you go up to the Capitol in a big white van and a bunch of guys just pour out and the van takes off. And then we would meet him back at some other intersection, and then we'd all go running to the van and jumping in at a red light. And so we got around town like that to hit all of the major stops. And then Wednesday we spent at the House of the Temple. Well, we did in the morning, and then they left and I went to the art gallery because my daughter made me. It was intense. If you're going to drive in DC, driving can be done. It is not as bad as I was told it was. Unfortunately, driving is one thing, parking is another. I learned that you can park nowhere in Washington, D.C.
It's out of like Chicago in that way.
Yeah. Well, except the traffic is not nearly as bad. I've driven in Chicago, and the traffic in D.C. wasn't as bad when I was there. It's just the parking. Like, you just can't park anywhere. So it's made for, I guess, what we were doing, where people bring folks and pick things up, drop things off, and move on. Because everywhere you go, like, it seemed like there's two lanes of traffic, and the right lane is always blocked by someone with their flashers on, dropping things off or picking things up or people. I guess that's how it works. But there was, the last time I was in DC, I was not a Mason. I was a cadet, and I was more concerned with drinking and not getting back to the academy, because Army had lost, as Army always does, and it just wasn't a fun place to be. So we,
how is that different than Masonry?
Well, because I would have not appreciated the city of Masonic graffiti that is Washington, D.C. The Freemasons' hands have been everywhere in that town, and that was a lot of fun, so I'm glad I was able to see that now that I can appreciate it. And then just all of the Capitol sites that, you know, I've seen photos of. That was the weird thing. A lot of the places we went, I've seen them. I know what they look like. I know what's in them. I even know how to navigate most of them.
But you haven't actually seen them.
But I hadn't physically been there. And the scale of some of those things, like the Jefferson Memorial, I know what it looks like. I know the inscriptions. I've got the books. I've seen. But to be standing in it and appreciate the scale of that monument is something else. Jamie, I can't look at you and tell the story. So, I mean, you can disrobe on camera.
That's as far as I'm going.
I'm not the one causing problems tonight. Let that be set in there for the minutes.
Let the record show.
While I was at the Scottish Rite Temple, I got a personal visit with the Grand Commander in his office. I sent you guys the photo of that.
Saw that picture.
Yes, that's cool.
That was unexpected. He just kind of interrupted our tour group and said, "Hey, I'm taking these guys."
Did you know who you were in particular, or?
Well, he knew,
like, from your lodge.
So, we weren't the first Masonic group with to visit. Well, clearly I was a member because I was the only doofus wearing my Scottish Rite.
You tool.
So, well, I was the only one in my group. There were other Scottish Rite members there who were, but not with my lodge. They just all forgot to bring it. So when I pulled mine out, they're like, "Oh man."
I'm pretty sure you hear that, Harlan, when you pull it out.
You walk into the hotel pool with your trunks on and your apron. What's up, guys?
Hey, our Tyler was walking around rocking his sword for hours after the parade ended just because. So.
Well, I would too.
I was showing the sword off before you hopped on, I think, John. I'll have to do that again after the show. I still have all of our lodge regalia in my office. Because I was the cargo bitch, because I'm the one that drove. So
that, yeah, as the guy who's got a bunch of Army Guard shit on the other side of the door over here. Yeah.
Nope. And our lodge hasn't met again for me to have a reason to actually drive out,
bring it back
town and take it back.
Yeah.
Because my TO lodge is in Bruce's town, and our lodge is in neither of our towns. We both have a very extended.
I'm weird that way.
To get to our lodge. But the Ford Theater, I did not know that they still do shows in there. And the boxes are still in there and you can sit in them, just not the one that Lincoln was killed in.
Neat.
And it's still there and it still has like the curtains and the chair and stuff that like he was sitting in. It's Lincoln's box.
Interesting.
Is there evidence?
Yes, supposedly. However, most of the evidence is I'd heard that the doctor's house where he died was nearby, but when I was actually there, like, you're at the Ford Theater and then directly across the single lane street is the greenhouse where the doctor's house. It wasn't open by the time we got there, but apparently you can go in. And they still have the bed with like the bloody sheet that he died on. So
it is incredibly morbid.
It is morbid.
That's what I was saying. That's a morbid thing to hold on to.
That was the cool thing about having our particular guy who was giving us the tour is he knew all of that little trivia about on this corner is where so and so met this ambassador and so on. Like he was all of the like this all happened where you're standing kind of stuff. That was pretty cool. And since Jamie's here, one of the things I distinctly remember, we had a good laugh when our van rolled by the Russian embassy, as you can imagine is a busy place at the moment.
Right.
And then we drove by the Canadian embassy,
Russia,
which the Canadian embassy is the only one we passed that wasn't covered in like iron fencing and clear demarcations. It looks like it looks like a museum or something. It jets out into because you know in DC it's got that the radial streets, so there's a lot of like triangle corners. So the Canadian embassy is in one of those triangle corners, and it just goes all the way out into the corner. Big Canadian flags. There's no fences around it. There's no like clearly armed military security.
Puppies playing on the lawn.
America's gonna screw with Canada. Why wouldn't we?
Zero security at all.
The Canadian embassy is the one where they're just not concerned with this is Canadian soil here. This is the line. No, it just blends into the environment. Oh,
there's a flying squirrel like up in one of the parapets just looking out. Just
well, but we were joking about was. We were betting that the Canadian embassies look like that in every country.
Probably. Like, except for any place that has a lot of hostility, probably yes.
Well, no, I picture like in Iran when your ambassador was rescuing our hostages, the Canadian embassy's just out there. Like there's no gates. There's no, it's just, that's Canada.
No fences.
Dark space.
Blow up that one. We want to blow up that one. Those are the Canucks. We leave them alone. We'll blow up that one. We'll blow up that one.
It's just, you'll have to like do a Google image on the different embassies in Washington. You can see what I'm talking. It's starkly different. It's just out and proud, man. And it's massive.
They're happy.
It's as big as the Russian embassy. It's
oh yeah.
It's massive. I didn't realize if it weren't for the Canadian flags, it wouldn't have caught my eye. I would have thought it was just another one of the big
buildings
or museums or whatever. Because that's what it looks like. Is one of the, like the Smithsonian or something. It's just another one of the big attractions.
Right.
We were joking about going to visit, but we were on a very, very down to the 5-minute buffer schedule.
That'd been fun just to mosey in. Are you Canadian?
Well, then you could have walked in. It would have been like, "Hey, yeah. Do you know Jamie? You're Canadian, right? Do you know Jamie?" I know that Canadian Jamie
some
guy.
Some of my friends are Canadian. I'm not a nationalist.
Oh, you know that's so bad. Some of my friends are blank. It's horrible. Yeah.
Now, if I go to DC next February for Masonic Week, I got to make sure to bring my Letterkenny jersey and like a six-serve beer and just go sliding in the front door.
I'm sure they'd crack one open with you. It looked very low key. Like there were other embassies that weren't quite as locked down, but they had very clear military guards at the gates or at the entrance. The Canadian one just they look like people like ushers at a museum they weren't even standing outside. They're just sitting in there's a glass circular thing on the front where the lobby is. So you can see that there is security, but they're not
like a ticket booth at a movie theater.
Yeah, they're not intimidating security. I'm sure they were packing. I mean, they had earpieces and stuff. So,
I got a new box for my weed.
So, what's the deal with? Oh, I got some new boxes. I bought a whole set on Amazon, a little treasure chest. The one just came in today.
I think Jamie's is better, but
not for my weed.
That looks really nice.
Full of my shoe polishing stuff. So
that's cool. Did I show you my new dice bag? No.
Jamie's gonna show us his dice bag.
Jamie's just got all the cool shit.
So
I like cool shit.
Member of the Astro Lodge subscriber club.
I could remember it's about to go
black. Yeah. Patreon level 5 will get some of my hair.
It's a mimic.
It's a mimic.
Yeah.
I have one of those downstairs, but my main one is still chainmail, so I'm better than you.
That's really cool.
The nerds are when they recognize what a mimic is.
Oh yeah. Immediately.
Any nerd worth his salt will know a mimic.
Right? Any nerd worth his dollars wants a mimic in his home.
And to be fair, I counterbalanced the nerdery by carrying, when I had dice, carrying them around in a Crown Royale bag. So,
well, that's not better.
Chuck's got the nicest carrying bag.
That's actually very acceptable, John. The Crown Royale bag is a better of an alcoholic gamer.
Yes, absolutely. Who needs more dice bags?
A cheap alcoholic gamer.
I brought enough for everybody.
But yeah, that was my DC trip. I sent you guys all the photos.
It was cool. I watched some of the parade live too. That was pretty neat. I missed you by 20 minutes.
Yeah, but it was a long parade.
Quite
long. And of course, it wasn't all smooth sailing with the purple people eaters, but we don't need to belabor that on the air. So,
ours or someone else's?
Just well, everybody there was probably purple people eaters, except
probably
us.
A lot of people would write and most in front of their title, and God save everybody if they're all in one spot at one time.
Yeah,
because that's just way too many.
I did feel like we were the only non Grand Lodge officers within eyesight in the parade. The Grand Lodge of Mexico was right behind us in the parade, and those guys were the Grand Lodge of Mexico York Masons, because I think there's another Grand Lodge of Mexico that's something else.
There is.
And these guys were a hoot. They were wearing giant sombreros with waving big Mexican flags and carrying this banner that took like four guys to carry. And they were very proud to be there.
All right. Our on again, off again guest Sean knows a few of those guys.
I met the Grand Lodge of Portugal came to visit our lodge at the memorial.
That's cool.
Those were cool guys. Their grandmaster and I exchanged contact info. He's also going to this world conference thing in Jerusalem, and we're supposed to sync up there and have some drinks. And so at least I'll know somebody besides my
that's
my
nice
representative counterpart, who I don't think's even going to be there for the whole thing. I think he's just showing up one day.
What is that going on, Harlan?
It's May the 10th and 11th, I think.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And you're traveling over there?
That is the plan.
Maybe I should get my grandmother to do that because
I forgot my passport expired, and now I'm getting very nervous that I'm not going to be able to have it renewed quickly enough.
That would suck. When I thought I was going to Jerusalem for the Holy Land pilgrimage trip back in, well, it would have been 2 weeks ago, I filed for my passport right away, and I got it within 20 days. I got it within time for that trip had I been able to go, had they let me go. So you'll be fine.
Takes a lot longer than that to get a passport up in Canuckyville here.
Well, it normally does here. What's
a but you can sit there and get stoned while you're waiting for it. So
yeah. You know. Time doesn't really matter anymore.
So I don't know. I have some inside people at the milk company. So perhaps.
Right.
You do.
Because the milk company does it for you guys, right? Same here. I guess our milk company does it here too, now that I think about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're good at putting pictures on stuff like milk cartons and stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a thing they do.
Or
all those missing children.
Posters on the wall.
Milk labels and stuff. Yeah. I'll keep you guys abreast of how that's going. If that doesn't work out, well, I'll miss my new buddy. But they also do a Master Mason degree in King Solomon's Mines every year, and that's what I was supposed to be going to when COVID hit and you couldn't go anywhere suddenly. So I would like to get back to that as well. So I'll be doing one or the other, and it kind of depends on my wife's plans for spending the budget on vacation things, because the kids want to go places and she wants to go other places, and the only solution is, well, we have to do all of it. I'll just work until I die.
Just bought tickets to Guns N' Roses in August. That's gonna be fun.
Ah, Guns N' Roses. Dang.
Yeah.
You used to love her, but you had to kill her there, buddy. Is that my favorite Guns N' Roses song? I play it in
guy
the car.
I knew in junior high did that for freaking lip sync for day. Talent show. Bad.
Which she doesn't want me to play because the children might hear it, and yet my son walks around humming "Mommy Don't Know Daddy's Getting Hot" at the body shop.
I know, so, right? Like, they used to sing "Skeet Skeet Skeet." Like, what the hell, man?
Like, he'll be wandering around riding his little hover thing or whatever, and you'll hear him just singing to himself. And what?
Or I can't feel my face when I'm with you talking. I mean, that's the song about snorting coke. I mean, like
is that on Kids Bop now? Mommy don't know, daddy's getting hot.
Okay, but to be fair, Jamie, it's a metaphor about a woman.
He's not right.
Actually doing the coke in that song.
Whereas the body shop song, that's a very good point.
Yeah,
that
song's.
Yeah. Yeah, they got some messed up situations going on with music nowadays, man. Well, give me some old classic rock and roll, and I'll be happy.
It's always been going on. It just.
Yeah, I know.
Was that country song with the guy? I didn't realize it was awful till I was in high school, and I'm like, wait, is he really saying it gets hotter than a hoochie's coochie? What?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Just remember, "I Want Candy" was sung by a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
Aaron Carter?
I'm going to beat you next time I see you, I swear to Christ.
I believe he was also 16 when he sung that song.
We're due for a kick in the face.
You got to come down here to do it, buddy.
I'll buy that ticket.
I'm going up closer to your neck of the woods this summer. I think one of those things we're talking about is to Michigan. I don't know why, but Great Lakes are in Michigan. Supposedly, it's not so bad outside of Detroit, so we'll see.
Yeah, unless you're going to the UP.
Nah. It's northern Michigan on the lake. I don't know. Never been there. Apparently, it's the place to go. I was skeptical about going to Hilton Head Island, too, but it turned out to be pretty fantastic, so I guess I'll take a chance on Michigan having a place, too. Well, because all I heard about Hilton Head was South Carolina. And then thought, why the hell would I want to go to South Carolina?
Because Hilton Head's not really South Carolina.
So I had the same reaction about Michigan, but maybe Michigan's got a tucked away place that isn't like
that's not so bad. Michigan. That isn't like the rest of Michigan. Yeah.
I like the UP either. Can't imagine the northern part or the lower part of Michigan's much different than the UP. I think I might be totally wrong.
You'd be Yucatan Peninsula, right?
Yep.
Wow, I knew something. Wow.
Well done, bud.
Oh my god, I remembered something you've probably said before.
Well, my brother and I rode our motorcycles through there 2 years ago now, and just we're going back because it was a blast.
That would have made the DC trip even better if I could have rode out there, but then I would have had to have all of our lodge stuff tied onto the back of a motorcycle.
You look like a clamp that's going down the road.
And I'd have to have a motorcycle. But I hadn't driven through the Appalachian Peaks since I was a kid. So that was kind of cool. I did stop a few times along the way, and because they have those overlook spots where you can, when you're up at the very top. And
you're like, oh, look at that blasted out freaking coal town. That place sucks.
Well, they tend to build the lookouts in places where the mine has already been filled in and there's trees growing.
So it's not really fitting the bill.
Yeah. Or when I came back, it was at night.
Behold me, people in the lowlands. I am above you. And I have
come teeth. Worship me, peasants.
And I have four chromosomes, and you don't.
I'm here amongst the hill people.
Christ.
Who coincidentally have less chromosomes.
What a slightly blue tint.
Don't kill Jamie, damn it. We don't need to be implicated in international death.
Woo! Brother Jason in the
murder by proxy
has asked at some point that if we could explain the significance of George Washington and why my lodge went out for his birthday celebration.
Who said that?
This would be Jason from the YouTube chat. So since you asked, I know this isn't common knowledge, but George W. Washington
was a Mason.
Was a Freemason. It's been historically verified, and it's kind of mind-blowing, so we all went out there to celebrate that. Because, you know, he is the guy who birthed the United States from his very loins, and we had to go and celebrate Daddy's birthday.
He had some amazing Kegels.
Brother Daddy.
He was a man with an idea.
Because Pennsylvania.
Because Pennsylvania. I'm sorry, dude. The hills are alive with a little bit of that around your area as well, regardless of. Yeah.
Let me tell you something, Jamie. Out here, the hills are alive for real.
Yeah.
They have eyes.
I've heard stories.
Yeah, they have big movies about that, too.
Yeah. Well, the hills have eyes was about a different.
It was a documentary, area, chart.
But. Same concept.
I thought it was called Stepmothers Being Bad. I'm sorry.
We have Hawkman out there.
That's California.
Oh, California. Oh, all right. Hawkman is out there?
Mothman.
Mothman. Oh, yeah. Mothra.
I wanted to go to the Mothman Museum in West Virginia on the way to D.C., but didn't actually make it. They have a
Mothman like the Tick's sidekick?
No, like
that's
the Tick sidekick would be more interesting than that bullshit they got.
It's interesting because it's bullshit, Chuck.
Yes, that's true.
Look,
same reason I would go to Roswell.
A bunch of freaking hillbillies in West Virginia drank the mine water and they saw something, and now it's now a tourist attraction.
I have a patch on the dashboard of my motorcycle. That's the it's a tarot card. It's the death card, but it's a silhouette of a Mothman sitting on a headstone.
See?
That my brother gave me. So
it's good marketing.
I will. Yeah, it's I like it. It looks cool. I'll back their play. I mean, Chuck's not wrong. However, I think a city built around the Tick and Arthur would probably be way more entertaining.
They're interesting gentlemen, aren't they? Use that term loosely.
Interesting or gentlemen? Because, yes.
Both. Yeah, that's interchangeable as well.
But now that I've discovered how much fun lodge field trips can be, when are we going to do this this after lodge road trip?
Where are we going?
I don't know. We could all meet somewhere. See, we can go to Prince Edward Island, perhaps. When there's no snow.
Yeah, make sure it's summertime. But you'd enjoy yourselves in summertime, and then I wouldn't have to entertain you. I'm just kidding.
Dude,
there's a million things to do here, honestly. But
if we're going to invade PEI during the summer, I'd love to ride out there. So.
I mean,
I was going to say, I asked Jen about a motorcycle 2 days ago. She shot me down so bad. I was so sad.
It sucks. Though.
Oh, I was so sad. She's like, you're 45. You don't need that. I'm like, no, but
that's
not
why I need that.
I know. Right.
I'll write out the USS Executor. And once she sits on it, she'll get one.
The vibrations.
Yes, that's right. She'll feel that power between her legs and go, this is what I've been looking for my whole life. Jamie, go away.
I can feel the buzz in my butt, and the seat's so comfortable I could take a nap.
Yeah.
You have to get her one of those, if you can read this, the bitch fell off shirts.
Oh, she'd kill me. She'd kill me.
Not if she's wearing it.
No, I suppose.
Right. Back when I was still a young guy before I started going to college, I bought as a gag Christmas gift for me and my girlfriend those shirts. It was, if you could read this, the bitch fell off, and the other shirt said, I'm the bitch that fell off. That didn't go over well, but it was worth
every penny.
I'm still trying to revive my motorcycling days, but I think the wife's new strategy is we'll just keep spending money so I can't.
Yeah,
that is jokes on her, because I got my last first and only motorcycle was I paid like $1,000 for it because it was a wreck, and I knew the guy that owned the motorcycle store in town. I was working for him at the time, so he hooked me up, and he's like, I'm just gonna sell you this for what I bought it for, and then we're gonna help you get it fixed up. And I can make it happen on a slim budget, so I may end up having to do that.
You can get good used bikes for cheap, man. I mean,
yeah. Especially now, there's a lot of, so the supply, I hear the supply constraints have disappeared as everybody who bought motorcycles during COVID realized that economics are a thing and are now selling said motorcycles. And, although this is always a bad time of year to buy it, no matter the market. So I had to wait till the fall.
October.
Yeah. That's when you buy a bike. It's like October through December.
Yeah,
you're not buying a National Treasure movie road trip, but I mean that's basically DC.
Oh, I will say at the National Archives, I was deeply amused at how many National Treasure jokes they've internalized, like at the archive. And so the security people and like the gift shop and the. Some of the exhibits, even like the little plaques and stuff, they all have like thinly veiled jokes or references about Nicolas Cage and National Treasure, including right outside the main room where the Declaration, the Constitution are. There's a little thing about how the preservation process works and why Nicolas Cage would not be able to steal this. And there was
nice
in the gift shop. You can buy copies of the Declaration. You can also buy copies of the Declaration with a map on the back. Like,
oh yeah, they've leaned into it hard. Oh,
that's awesome.
Yes, I got many good chuckles out of. I thought, well, if I worked at the archives, I guess probably not the most exciting job. So you kind of take what you can get.
That's awesome that they've just grabbed that ball and ran with it.
Yeah, and of course, I knew this in my brain, but actually experiencing it, like many things in DC, was different. Just how cheap all of the public things are, which makes sense because, you know, the people's houses and all that rhetoric that we say is actually kind of true. So, I went to the Gallery of the Arts, I was looking on my phone to buy tickets and then was like, oh, wait, you don't buy tickets. It's open to the public.
Yes.
The archives are the same way. Like all of the major capital stops are either super cheap or free because, well,
they want people to go.
Well, it's
because we're taxed into.
Yeah. I mean, not everything's free. You got to pay money if you want to go up inside the Washington Monument, for example. And those tickets like sell out at 8 a.m. every morning. So,
wow.
I was really glad that our guy had arranged everyone's tickets like weeks in advance. That was that photo I sent you guys. I was putting on a brave face, but you know, I don't enjoy heights, and I really didn't enjoy all the talk about the earthquake and the damage that had been done.
Why? Just because you're in a
monument,
500 foot tall spike made out of brick and mortar. Yes.
Yeah, so when you're in the elevator, you get to the top, and then they're reminding you about how cool it is that the Washington Monument doesn't have a steel skeleton. It's not like it's just gravity, like stone on top of stone.
Isn't it neat that this is still standing?
Yes.
And it's then you get very there, cool. I don't know how we're not dying right now.
And you get up there, you can feel it moving, like because it's so windy. And
it's
so
like standing there in the arch.
Well, yeah,
it's the tallest masonry structure in the world.
Yeah,
there's no like rebar. It's brick and mortar. That's it.
Nothing else.
It's the biggest one of its kind, and it's arguably in an earthquake zone, sort of. So
I had it together, and I'm looking out the little windows at all the cardinal directions to kind of overlook the city. But then, of course, the guys from the lodge are like, "No, you got to look down. You got to look down to the base." I'm like, I'm okay. And then I did it because peer pressure, and that was when the lunch started coming up.
And that was outside of it going into the illustrious brother Cole's office. That was the second time on the trip that Harlan went, just for a different reason.
Well, and then you can't just get down. Like, you have to wait on the elevator to come back up, and the elevator takes 10 minutes. So...
Hurry up,
just
like the arch.
Yeah. Oh. And then on the way down, it stops at different points and the doors open. So you can look at the stones that were added because different grand lodges and stuff like contributed stones. So on the inside of the monument, there's the engravings and faces and stuff of all the different places that contributed them.
And doors open up. Here's where the giant fissure is from the earthquake.
Yes. The earthquake. I learned more about masonry, like actual stone masonry, on this trip than I have probably in years combined. For instance, we rode by the National Cathedral, and which turns out is basically owned by the Mormons. So there's news for you. And in the earthquake, I guess the earthquake was what, 2011? So they're still doing repairs to the building, and they've got this little section where these capitals, like these giant heavy ass stone capitals that sit on the peaks of the towers, carving them because they had been damaged in the earthquake. Well, the reason they got damaged in the earthquake is at the time the building code was, you just set those locked up there. Like, they're not, they might have like some cement or something. It's just gravity holding there. Them up there because they're so friction. They're not going anywhere. And that's how like old cathedrals were all built. Like, all the big, they look small from the ground, but like when you're up there, they're these massive multi-ton statues. They just sit up there and you hope there's not an earthquake. So during the earthquake, the groundskeeper was looking up there and like watching them just wobble around and dance. And one of them fell like something out of straight out of Final Destination into the Rose Garden. So
nice.
They left that one there. They actually built a little thing in the garden around it. So there's like plants and stuff and they're just going to leave it there. And I just couldn't imagine being outside while that's happening. And here comes this multi-ton thing just rolling down the building. But it's been 12 years and they're still half the building's covered in scaffolding and they're working on it. That was the other theme of the trip, is everywhere we went was covered in scaffolding, like the Capitol, the...
Well, that's recent.
Well, the Capitol is recent, but the National Cathedral, the Jefferson Memorial was... They're doing a bunch of work to that. The area outside the Washington Monument, I don't know what they were working on, but there's something there. But just everywhere we went, like, everything's under construction. I guess it's the off-season, so that's when you do all of your restoration work or something, but...
Well, and if it's government building work like it is here, it's going to take them forever to do it, too.
Not wrong.
They're always working on it, yeah. So maybe...
like.
Part of the Jefferson Memorial for the next 40 years is going to be...
I've worked hand in glove with the General Services Administration. You're not wrong.
Well, we have on PEI, of course, this is the birthplace of Confederation, the building where the documents to create Canada were signed. They've been doing they finished the outside of redoing the face of it this year. They were working on it for 6 years and it's just refacing the outside of the building. Like, waste of money. I don't know.
I mean, you know, in D.C., waste of money is, well, we just call that D.C., so.
Parcel.
Yeah.
Most of D.C.
But all in all, I have nothing but good things to say about the trip, at least publicly, and.
Did you see any of my Chapeau'd compatriots out there marching?
Yeah. We kept trying to get our Tyler to go challenge one of them to a sword fight, but I thought it was going to happen once.
Really wish that we'd have thought, and I wish our grand commander had thought well enough to send my honor guard out there, because we're the only standing honor guard in Grand Encampment that I know of.
And of course, the Shriners brought up the rear of the parade in their little
cars.
And you get to the part where the mayor is, like the review part at the end of the parade, the part that was on the video you were watching, Jamie. So at the very end, I don't know if you watched that long, but the Shriners brought up the tale, and then they spend like 10 minutes in the review square just doing
donuts and everything else.
I didn't get that far, no.
Okay, of course. Like, the parade's been over for 5 minutes, y'all. Like, the mayor's packing her stuff up, like the
sound. Oh, yes, okay.
The Shriners are still going in the little square.
Because I had the feed on for a little bit. I was trying to get into the feed to the actual memorial on the website that was after. So I turned off the YouTube live. I was trying to get into that. So
there were a lot of Shriners, a lot of Shriner hats, which is to be expected in a parade. That wasn't
surprising. I mean,
it's our thing.
Bit and finish, right?
Because I'm one of those now. Speaking of Shriners and parades here, sorry to get into local Shriner stuff. And the cars again. So our Shriners aren't going to be doing anything with their cars and stuff because of insurance issues. Insurance issues with the cars and stuff like that. So right now they're not doing parades. As of 2023, they're not going to be, until they can get insurance stuff figured out.
Well, you got really a bunch sucks. Of drunk old guys driving little cars in crowded spaces.
Yeah.
Well, previously they paid for insurance through
Harlan, but that's the way it's the main always shrine. Been.
I know.
Yeah. Right.
Like, and units,
which is why I'm glad I was at the front of the parade and the Shriners were in the back.
There was a great thing with the parade here. I don't know how long ago. It was in Wisconsin, just across the border. And it was, I know what unit and whatnot it ended up being involved, but it wasn't little toy cars. It was like big, not full size vehicles, but I don't want to, because if I say what it is, it's going to immediately tip the
right.
Hand. But you know, they're trail vehicles. Somebody went off, flew up, you know, we're doing the parade drills and stuff. And if I remember right, a bystander got clipped and didn't make it. This was a while ago, like 10 years ago or so, I think. There's that whole thing with doing the parades and having to have the insurance coverage. It's a bit nuts.
Yeah.
But are you really safe from the Shriners anywhere, though? Like,
that? No. They're going to get you.
I mean,
they're going to get you.
It's just like, you know, uncomfortably in a bathroom stall or in a parade or something like that. Yeah. It's.
Oh, shit. I forgot to ask somebody something. Oh, crap. Speaking of Shrine again, I got to get up early. It goes either Saturday or Sunday morning to put meals together for our roast beef dinner sale. And I can't remember which day I'm supposed to go, Saturday or Sunday. Mm-hmm. There's stuff going on early both mornings for prep and stuff, and I forget which one I'm assigned to. Shit. Now I got to send an email.
What happens when you dive into the deep end of the fraternal pool?
Oh, I know.
Waking up early.
Well, I'm up early anyway, but yeah, but not on the weekend. Exactly. That's the show of it.
Yep. Yep. Many years of cooking breakfast at my lodge and thinking, why are we doing this to ourselves?
Because we want to do things for our community.
Ooh, that's another update that's happened since our last recording.
What's that?
So my lodge is officially out of the fair business. So
what? So you're not doing the big hoo-ha in the summer?
No, we are not. Politics is a bitch. But
yeah, no, I knew there was some sort of cluster going on there.
Yeah, so we just kind of told them. Well, in private, we told them things I won't repeat on the air, and publicly, we. You know, it's been a pleasure and best of luck to the city and their future endeavors, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, no, I will still be there and I will have a tub of popcorn and a video camera. It's going to be a good time.
You can watch the whole shit show happen.
Yeah. Well, so administrations have changed and things have happened and they kind of forgotten why the Masons were doing this to begin with. Mm-hmm.
Because
well, so this whole event is made up of factions that, well, they're political factions and they all hate each other. The county, the city, different boards and groups and whatever. And we were the people that everyone
weren't in it.
Thought was fine. So like we played middleman to coordinate this Charlie Foxtrot every year. And so that the community had a good time with it. We're not there to do that, and
things have come out. So there's going to be people butting heads that normally don't have to.
Thing. And
yeah,
I'm disappointed for the people that live. Well, not just that live there. People came from like the whole surrounding area. It was a massive event, and
now you're pretty sure it's going to be a shit show.
And so we're. Yeah, I don't know what our next fundraising venture will be. There's been a lot of talks about different ideas. So I'm sure we'll have new stories, but the annual summer season of the After Lodge podcast being filled with fair talk, it'll be a little bit less of it. I think we're going to do an exhibit or a dunking booth or something at our
local
fair. But
no, Harlan, you're talking about doing an After Lodge get-together? We need to, like, park a booth outside, just outside of that when it happens, and like sit out there like Statler and Waldorf from the Muppets and like live record. It's like, you guys are f***ing this up.
That's in July, right? I gotta get some time off now.
So our treasurer and I, who were the two most heavily involved with the politics of the event, may just be doing exactly that. except without the broadcasting part, but just kind of sitting back and chuckling.
Like, put it on Slack at least.
Oh, shit. Get Chuck down there with me and we'll be doing a commentary out loud, and it'll be like on freaking World Star.
The downside is that there's no more free jungle juice, so that.
Oh kind of yeah.
But I'm sure we'll be running into that to the beer guy at other events. Well, this isn't the end of us doing community events. It's just the end of us in that one. So we'll take what we've learned and maybe do something cooler.
Yeah, run, do your own one like a week before or a week after.
So we talked about that too.
suck the oxygen out of the room. You guys have the groundwork and everything else laid out.
We've considered partnering with a different one of those factions who brings most of the money to the table and kind of doing a separate thing at the same time. That won't happen this year, but maybe in the future. But wanted to share that because that's been an annual tradition of this podcast.
Right. The
Sleepless, Sunburnt, and Hungover episode.
It's been
an annual tradition that won't be happening this year.
Literally.
The live episode from in the truck. That was one of the good ones, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We did it. So that was we used to do two big festivals. The smaller one was the one that we did live stream from the truck. That one we're actually still going to be kind of involved with, like, that's in our town. We gave that one up. We left on good terms. We just didn't have the bandwidth to do both, and the city had more resources and was able to do it on their own. So that one's a different story than the big one. We never recorded from the big one because we were all too busy and it's out in the middle of nowhere. So there's not good enough reception to live stream anyway.
Right on. Yep. Shit. Quick without a paddle.
DC is really all I have to share, and I have beat that horse to death. So unless you guys have other fun upcoming things to share, we can put a lid on this one.
No.
Going to a rap show on Friday. That's it. I'm all concerts right now. I'm going to my first rap show. I'm going to see Classified.
So old right now.
I know, that's why I say it like that, just for that exact effect, buddy. effect. If I can get a groan,
you have achieved
eye roll, I'm in.
I did that internally.
As the oldest guy in the podcast, kiss my ass. other than that was me.
All right, and that was a timely message from Google to tell us to quit soaking up the bandwidth and get off the air. So that's what we're going to do. So thank you for listening to episode 312 of the After Lodge podcast. You can find the show notes for this or any previously published episode at www.afterlodge.com and maybe at gwmemorial.org, but we'll see if we get them to associate with us. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter at After Lodge. Shoot us an email at afterlodge@gmail.com. Hang out with us on IRC at irc.snoonet.org, / Freemasonry. You can find Chuck on Reddit as the King of No Pants. You can find Bruce on Reddit, but
no.
Wait, you can't find Bruce on Reddit, but if you do, you win the grand prize.
Yeah.
And
me pot of gold. Else
important I was gonna
no, just there, pot from me.
Same all thing. Right, Jamie, you can't be doing trafficking. This is a United States.
Well, they have to be Canadian. It has to be a Canadian that finds you on Reddit, so I can. Yeah, that's
all right. Good night, brothers.
Must be Canadian to win.
Bye.
That's right. No international edition.